In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, every single one of us has the experience of going to a funeral. We all know what it's like. We go to the Mass, we pray for the deceased person, then we accompany the casket to the cemetery, and we see the last rites that are performed over the casket, over the body, and then we walk away. And that's it. That's the end of the story. Nobody expects there to be anything else that happens from that point. When you take someone to the cemetery and you bury them there, they stay dead. The dead stay dead. That's part of what it means to be dead. You don't move anymore after you're dead. And in spite of all of our technology that we have today, we are unable to make living things. We have the components, the material parts. We can assemble the material parts for a frog, or a human being, or a cat. But we can't make it alive. We can't give life to it. We don't have power over life. And because we don't have power over life, we stay dead. That's where all of us are going to be one day. That's where you're going to be. That's where I'm going to be. We're all going to die. And the same thing's going to happen, God willing. We'll have our funeral. They're going to take us to the cemetery. They're going to put us in the ground. And they're going to walk away. And that's going to be it. Because we're going to stay there. We're not going to have any power to bring ourselves back from the dead. This is true of everybody. It's been true of everybody for the whole history of the world. It's a universal experience of human beings. But of course, there is one exception. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing that happened to him. They took him to the tomb. They put him in the tomb. They walked away. And they fully expected, because they weren't paying attention. But the same thing would be true of him as is true of every single person in the history of the world. But of course it was not. Because he alone has power over life. He alone had the power to bring himself back from the dead. And this is what he did. He used his power, which of course is the power of God, because God alone has power over life and over death. So our Lord, being God, used this power to reunite his body and his soul, and in fact, to give to himself a new body, a glorified body, a body that was now reflecting the glorification of his soul, the possession by his human soul of the divine vision. And this reality must be very clear in our minds as Catholics. The facts that I have presented must be very clear in our minds. First of all, we're going to die. We're going to be put in the cemetery, and we're not going to be able to get up. That's a basic fact that is true of all of us. Secondly, that our Lord Jesus Christ has power over life and death. And then add to that a third fact, and that is that he promises to you and he promises to me that he will get us up from the dead. He will raise us from the dead one day, the last day. He will raise us from the dead and give us our bodies back to us. And he proves to us that he can do that by raising himself up. And when I look at the Gospel of St. John, I read through the Gospel of St. John very carefully, trying to see how many times does our Lord promise us that he's going to give us life everlasting. It's an incredible number of times. 18 times is what I count of our Lord saying he's going to give us everlasting life.
which is an indication to us that he really desires to do this for us. He really wants to give us everlasting life. He even tells us in one of those passages in the 10th chapter of St. John that is the very reason why he came down on this earth. He certainly recognizes this fact, that we are subject to death and we have no power to bring ourselves back from the dead. So he comes down on this earth with his divine power, redeems us from our sins, and promises to us that he will raise us up from the dead, because we cannot. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Our Lord promises to you, he promises to me, that he will give us life once more after we die. And he will give us the same type of life that he assumed after his resurrection, a different type of life from the life that we have now. A life that will no longer die, there will no longer be death. A life that will not get sick. Our new body will not get sick. Our new body will not grow old. Our new body will not suffer. It's a special type of body, a glorified body. This is the promise that our Lord makes to us. Is he going to fulfill this promise? Of course. Of course he's going to fulfill this promise. Our Lord does not deceive. He cannot deceive. He is going to do this for you. Under one condition. There's only one condition. And that is that you are faithful to him in this life. If you remain faithful to him, if you love him more than you love yourself, more than you love anything else, and so you choose to refuse anything that's going to separate yourself from him, and you die in that condition of union with him, he will raise you up from the dead. You have to be friends with our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be his friend. In John chapter 6, where so many times our Lord is speaking about being the bread of life and giving us life everlasting, he says, "Do not labor for the meat which perishes, but for that which endures unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man will give you." This is exactly what is necessary for us to obtain everlasting life. We have to labor for the spiritual goods. And it is a work. It is the work of our life. It is the most important work of our life, to labor for these spiritual goods, to acquire these spiritual goods. Because there's no one else who's going to get you back up from the dead. Nobody. Nobody has that power. Your family members, the most powerful men of this world, no amount of money is going to get you back up from the dead. Only God himself has that power over life. If we are not friends of our Lord, if we are not faithful to him in this life, then we are lost. We are going to be dead forever in the death of hell. So what do we have to do in order to be friends of our Lord, to be faithful? Well, I mean, I think we all know. We all know that's why you're here. You're aware of the Catholic faith. You're aware of what our Lord taught. Because the Church communicates to us the truths about what our Lord taught. We know that we have to avoid sin and remain in a state of grace. We know that when we commit sin, we have to go to confession, have our soul cleansed of that sin. We know that we have to try to make devout Holy Communions to receive our Lord in the most blessed sacrament, that above all, it is the devout reception of our Lord in the most blessed sacrament that augments that life of God dwelling in our soul, and is a certain pledge of the everlasting life that he is going to give us. Again, I quote to you from John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the desert and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that if any man eat of it, he may not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. But as I say, I especially want to emphasize the importance of having that friendship with our Lord. Just think if you had the power that our Lord has. What if you had the power to raise the dead to life? And one of your family members died. One of your friends died. One of your children died. You would not hesitate to use that power to bring them back from the dead, to restore that life to them. You would not hesitate because you love them, because they're close to you. They're your friends. And so if we are the friends of our Lord, if we are close to our Lord in our life, our Lord will not hesitate to raise us up from the dead and communicate that life because he can. Because he will love us, he will communicate that everlasting life to us. And we know that when people are friends, they do not betray one another. And especially when they're very close friends, they seek to do things that will please the other. They try not to offend their friend on the one hand. On the other hand, they seek to do the things that please their friend. And you know, it's important that we not only say to ourselves, what are those types of sins that cut off my friendship with our Lord? It's also important for us to say, what are those sins that weaken my friendship with our Lord? The little betrayals that slowly lead to the big betrayals, that we have a sensitivity not just to mortal sin, but also to venial sin. We have this desire not to offend our Lord in any way. This is the mark of true friendship. This is a mark of true love for our Lord, when we don't even want to commit the venial sins that might offend him. Sometimes it's important to ask ourselves what we would be willing to lose in order to hold on to the friendship of our Lord. Is there something that if it were taken away from us, we would get angry with God? Isn't that something that's really common today, where we kind of lost the sense of the rights of God, for people to get angry at God? They expect God to do their will. And when God, in his providence, allows for something to be taken away from them that they're very attached to, they shake their fist at God. They say, how did you let this happen to me? I'm angry at you. And this is a betrayal of their friendship with God, because our Lord gets to decide how this life plays out. He gets to decide in his providence what is good for us and what he wants us to have. Everything that we have is from him, ultimately belongs to him. And so it's for him to decide how long we have those things and when they are to be taken away from us. Even if it means sometimes it happens suddenly, we must not be angry at him, but rather submit to his providence. Then it's also important that we strive to possess in ourselves a virtue which is unfailing. And by that I mean a virtue that is capable of withstanding all types of tests. Think about the virtue of patience. How patient am I? How often do I let my anger exceed the bounds that are proper and so fall into sin? Is my virtue of patience strong enough that no matter what the situation of the provocation, no matter how I'm provoked by others or I'm angered by situations, I will, for the love of our Lord, keep my anger within bounds. This is a sign of great virtue, of this unfailing virtue is what I'm calling it, to where the virtue has reached such a level that it doesn't really matter what situation I'm in, how that virtue might be tried, but it will be present. The virtue will be exercised, even in the most extreme circumstances. Can I say that no matter how much I would be provoked by others, I will never give way to uncontrolled anger? Can I say that no matter how much my lower nature is aroused, I will never consent to impurity, or I will never seek out impurity? No matter what opportunities might be available, if we possess virtue of this type, it's a sign that we are close to our Lord, that we have a deep friendship with our Lord. We are willing to do anything rather than offend Him. In today's gospel, our Lord tells us, "A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, you shall see me." And that little while, the second little while that He's talking about, is the span of our life. It's just a little while. It seems like a long time sometimes that we're here on this earth, because we have no other reference point. This is our only reference point, this life. And a year seems like a long time, or a week. But in fact, from the perspective of God, and from the real perspective, it's just a little while. A little while, and we are going to see our Lord face to face, because He is our God. And if we are friends with our Lord at that time that we die, He is going to give us that everlasting life. If we're not friends with Him at the time that we die, we will have everlasting death and have no recourse for having that everlasting life. So, my dear faithful, let us be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ in this life, because He is the only one who can give us our life back after this death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.